Good morning, New City. Hey. So my name is Danny. I'm one of the pastors in this community. And we're currently in our Advent series called Carols of the Good News. I'm going to just do this. I have limited range. Okay, that's good. That works too. Thanks, Kevin. That's great. So during these 4 weeks leading to Christmas, we're reflecting on the traditional Advent themes of hope, peace, joy, and love by entering the words of some of our favorite Christmas carols. In the first 2 weeks of Advent, we reflected on how to see hope and peace in the incarnation of Jesus. And this week, we're entering into the theme of joy with a sermon called Transcendent Joy. In the sermon today, I'm going to be inviting us to contemplation and conversation. We'll be inviting God's Spirit to speak to us personally and individually, as well as to one another through our words to each other. I'm sort of riffing off Pastor Kevin's sermon format from last week, because many of us found that space for thoughtfulness really fruitful, I think, during the sermon. So we'll be spending time today with the song, Joy to the World. But to help us to enter those lyrics with Advent in mind, we're going to hear Luke chapter 2, verses 6 to 20 again this week, as we've been reading it every week, the story of Jesus' birth. So I'm reading from the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version, and that's Luke chapter 2, verses 6 to 20. Luke 2, 6 to 20. And it says this. While Mary and Joseph were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." You still with me? So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Would you pray with me? God Almighty, gracious God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for today. We give you thanks, Lord, for the sun, for the coolness, but also for the sun. We need the sun. God, we ask you that you would open our hearts and ears, our minds, our lives to the truth of who you are, to the truth of what you're doing among us, to the truth of what you're doing around the world, to the truth of your mission of healing that invades our lives and the entire world. God, we ask that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So what comes to mind when you think of experiencing joy? What memory comes to mind? So I'm just going to give you a second to really get that down. What comes to mind when you think of experiencing joy? You got it? Maybe the memory of experiencing joy came as a spontaneous outing with people you love, or around the dining table at Christmas time, or maybe as a kid living a carefree life. Maybe that memory of joy came to you at the birth of your children, or your wedding, or your graduation, or when you were finally recognized for your hard work and ingenuity. Maybe that memory revolves around just calm, quiet evenings with someone you love, where you just felt that the world was as it should be. How do you remember experiencing joy? I can only imagine the kind of joy and delight that overwhelms a woman who has just given birth to her first child. The exhaustion, the fear, and the fight of labor gives way to the relief of experiencing the presence of this tiny human, this beautiful baby, now fully present, fully here, crying and needy in a new way. The photos I've seen of new mothers holding their babies in the hospital are just astonishing. It's almost like the vitality and love and in the room is palpable, like tangible. You could just see it. And I can imagine Mary like this, in joyful, tearful awe of the baby in her arms, who represented God's faithfulness and love, who represented God's hope for the future. I can imagine all the difficulty of traveling while pregnant on a donkey, unable to find a real hotel room. I can imagine all that fading away as she looks into his tiny face. There, amidst the cattle and the hay and the feed trough and the smell, imagine it. The stable was bursting at the seams with vitality and love and joy. And it seems almost immediately, God was making known the news of this Savior's birth around the world. On an average quiet night on the job, the shepherds get word in the most shocking way. Think of it. Enveloped in light, all of a sudden, hosts of angelic beings surrounding you, singing, and the angel has the audacity to look at you and go, "Don't be afraid." It's like, okay, all right, sure, I'll try. But the angel goes on to name this humble birth into obscurity. Names it as an event that will result in great joy for all the people, joy to the world. And the shepherds go quickly in faith to lay eyes on Jesus, trusting God and rejoicing. If we're honest, sometimes it's often hard for us during Advent and Christmas to kind of authentically access these virtues, hope, peace, joy. It's hard for us to slow our pace, to quiet down and feel the beauty and possibility in this season. We're more often like the shepherds going about business as usual before the angel interrupts them with some wild news. I feel like year after year we lay eyes on the infant Jesus during Advent and we wait for action, right? We're waiting for the hope to come to fruition. We're waiting for that lasting experience of joy to the world and joy in our lives, the joy that the angel declared. For some of us, we've been in what feels like an endless season of difficulty where we just can't catch a break. Joy seems like a far-off fairy tale, a distant memory. Maybe the pressures of work and relationships or family life, children, recovery, and school seem to press in all around us. Sometimes the joy of the holiday season gets eclipsed by the stressful expectations of the holiday season, right? And we find ourselves in January just kind of thankful that the chaos is finally over. Have you been there? Yeah, it's real. What brings joy? What steals joy? How do we access a joy that centers and grounds us this Advent season? A joy that doesn't ignore suffering in the shuffle of holiday cheer. A joy that revives and sustains. A joy that reaches to the ends of the earth and compels us to sing and dance and shout. Where is joy this Advent season? Let's start where the author of Joy to the World started when he answered that question. Isaac Watts is a congregational minister and musician in 18th century England. He was reading through the Psalms, reflecting on Jesus' second coming. Not the first coming, actually. The second coming. Then he's reading through the Psalms. He lands on Psalm 98. And he felt moved to write the lyrics of Joy to the World. So what does Psalm 98 say? What did he see in Psalm 98 that compelled him to write Joy to the World? And Pastor James read us Psalm 98 for the call to worship. I'm going to read it again. Psalm 98 says this. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth, all the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Psalm 98. Psalm 98 is exultant. This is a big, brash party psalm, calling the faithful to celebrate the reality that God reigns over all creation and that God's reign is good news. Psalm 98 beckons us to what? To get loud, to get creative, to sing and clap and move as we allow the news of God's faithful, victorious love to seep into our bones. Psalm 98 is saying, you know God reigns, right? So why aren't you dancing? The hills are singing, the sea is roaring, the floods are clapping joyfully because God is coming with justice, with faithfulness and love to set things right. So get your instruments, let your hair down, celebrate, for God has revealed his salvation to the ends of the earth. That's Psalm 98. Now you'll see that this psalm doesn't have anything to do explicitly with Jesus' birth, right? When Isaac Watts wrote Joy to the World, he didn't intend for it to become a Christmas carol. He wrote it for his tiny church in England to sing about Jesus' second coming, the day when God reigns in fullness. It wasn't sung in the Christmas way until 130 years later when an American named Lowell Mason in 1848, he set the words that Isaac Watts wrote, he set it to music inspired by the German composer Handel, with Handel's Messiah, right? The great Handel's Messiah. And that music has everything to do with Christmas and the birth of Jesus. So the composition of Joy to the World as we know it today, as we sing it today, is really interesting. Over 130 years in three different countries, England, United States, Germany, with the guidance of at least three people, God's Spirit in the church were shaping it into the celebratory Christmas song we love today. That's pretty profound. That makes me, to sidebar, in our last sermon series talking about evolving faith, that makes me think of Scripture a little bit. The complicated process of how Scripture that we have today, how it came about, God's Spirit guiding it, many voices, much input. It's just cool to see. So, Joy to the World. Despite how irrelevant Psalm 98 might seem to the birth of Jesus, it's actually incredibly relevant. During Advent, we begin resetting our hopes and our longings towards that day of Jesus' second advent, when he comes to restore the world, bring full justice, wipe away every tear, and become not just the Prince of Peace, but the King of all creation. As we enter the story of the first Advent, it points us to the one to come, the second Advent. And the psalm instructs us about the joy available in the hope of that second Advent. In the words of the patron saints of disco rock, the Bee Gees, the psalm is saying, you should be dancing. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm so sorry. You should be dancing. Psalm 98 is an invitation to uncommon joy, to transcendent joy, based not on the anxieties and circumstances and sufferings of the now, but on the promise of a victory beyond our wildest imaginings. The healing of the cosmos. Joy to the world. Psalm 98 is an invitation to transcendent joy based not on the stench of animals in a hay-strewn first century barn, but on the power of God to make beautiful things out of dust. The power of God to take an ordinary birth and call it the salvation of the world. Amen? So I want to invite Angie, sorry, I should give you a heads up. I want to invite Angie to come up and play Joy to the World for us now. And as she comes up, you can find the lyrics to Joy to the World in the worship guide. So I invite you now to take a breath, to settle into your seat as we transition to a time of reflection, listening. If your mind's been wandering, that's okay. I invite you to come back to the present moment and tune into the words of Joy to the World. As you do, ask the Spirit of God to begin speaking to you with a word or a phrase from these three verses. Ask God for a word or phrase that speaks hope and joy to an area of your life where there's pain or where there's longing. As you listen, ask God for a word that speaks hope and joy to an area of your life where there's pain and longing.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Sing, joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glory. And wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Amen. 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 Thank you. There's a fourth verse that I want to read as well. It says he rules the world, or the third verse. Wait, which one's missing? Do you know? No more let sins and sorrows grow. Sorry, I'm not trying to make this weird. Well, I'm gonna just move on instead of do that. So, with the people around you, take a moment to share that word or phrase that the Spirit might have been speaking to you. Just take a few minutes, gather with the 3-4 people around you, consider it a second breakout group. Share that word or phrase that the Spirit's speaking to you. Just another couple seconds, 30 seconds. All right. So as the shepherds make the long journey to the manger in the night, back to the story of Jesus' birth real quick. As the shepherds make the long journey to the manger in the night, trusting that they'd heard a word from God, they arrive and see it's true. There lay the hope of the world, God's redemption to come. But after spending time with Mary and Joseph, what do? After getting to the manger, seeing Jesus, spending time with Mary and Joseph, what do? Scripture says that they return. They go back to their lives. Go to their livelihoods, their responsibilities, back to their flock. But it says that they go back different. They go back in the spirit of Psalm 98. Luke 2:20 says they go back rejoicing and praising God. The scandalous joy of this season is that the Creator God gets close. Close to us in a way we really understand as one of us. And believing that means that ultimately sorrow cannot and will not have the last word. And we on the other side of Jesus' resurrection, we anticipate that second advent where that joy comes to fulfillment, and we're invited to party with shouting and singing and dancing and clapping and music. But just like the shepherds had to leave the stable, Sunday worship always ends. You and I, we leave this gathering and make a return to our lives and our responsibilities. As we wrap up, I invite you to close your eyes and prayerfully consider this. Just one more question for you to spend time with God and hear from the Spirit. What would it take to leave here infused with a little more awareness of this future hope that can flood us with joy now? What would it take to hold on to this joy a little more as we head into 2022? What would it take to introduce our sorrows and longings to this hope in a manger? So, succinctly, the question is, what would it take to live into this joy with a little more faith? What would it take to live into this joy with a little more faith? Talk to God now, briefly, and I'll close us in prayer. Loving God, help us. Amid the chaos that this time can be, with all the demands that it can present, give us the grace to find our center in this joy of Jesus' first coming, and also this joy of Jesus' second coming, where that hope is brought to fullness, where that joy is brought to fullness, where your desire is for us to sing and dance and clap and shout and rejoice in your presence, in your good presence, your loving, faithful presence. Guide us, Holy Spirit, as we move from here, make a return to our lives and responsibilities. to listen for where the joy is seeping in the cracks into our lives, bursting forth. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.